Hi, and welcome to the Cans Across the World podcast. This is Sean, and you're listening to episode 91. Very, very welcome to this week's episode. How's it going? Fucked it up already. How's it going? How's it getting on? Oh, it's been a queer week, like. So I was doing all this mad stuff for my new job. Supposed to be starting next week. And then I've been applying for other jobs as well. So I've done this, like Zoom call interview for this other job that I'll probably take if they hire me quicker. Because my job start date is 2 weeks time, and basically this job I think are looking me to start me next week. So I'd rather just be working. So I did the Zoom fucking video call, but directly before the interview I was playing drums, and directly after, I'm recording a podcast and having a can. And I was just reflecting on it. I was just going, this is fantastic. Like, you can't do this in an in-person, interview. Like, I wouldn't be able to, sit out in the lobby and have a can and play drums. There's going to be a bunch of things that'll need to see changed, when we get back to society and stuff. If we ever do in-person interviews again, stick a drum kit out in your lobby where we're all waiting, and we'll just take turns playing it. It'll be class crack. Just have a wee jam off or a wee beat off or whatever you call it. And also have a wee fridge for cans as well. It can be wee, bring your own interview thing, so you can bring bottles or cans, but preferably cans because they're more eco-friendly, you know. So you're very welcome to this week's podcast. I've had a crazy week. Just with job stuff, really, and all things that come with it. It's been quite crack, but plowing on as we always do. And this week, it's just myself, so keep it a bit chill, keep it casual. And then next week then, Darren Matthews is going to be on, because this guy has brewed a mead, or fermented a mead. So he's fermented this mead over 6 months. And donated it to the podcast, and give Darren a bottle, give me a bottle. So thanks very much to himself and for Darren for dropping it round as well. But we'll chat more about that next week. Potentially the last Cans Across the World podcast ever. We'll see how the mead goes. If it actually finishes us off, or, if it's actually awesome. But without further ado, let's crack the can, see how we get on here. So this is the Brewdog Mallow Laser Quest. That's a marshmallow and pineapple hazy APA. It's a 6%er. Comes in a 440ml can. And honestly, I'm so excited about this. This sounds great. Marshmallow and pineapple hazy APA. Could you get any better? Oh, sorry. That's me slapping down the glass. Let's crack the can here, see what it sounds like. Yeah, boy. So it's good. Let's pour it as well. Typical ASMR fashion. Oh, there you go. Oh, I straight away getting the smells. Oh, wow. It smells fantastic. As you can imagine, there's a sweetness off it. There's definitely a clean kind of fruity candy kind of taste. Or, sorry, not taste. I didn't taste it yet. A fruity candy kind of smell. Getting the taste up my nose. The smell off it. The smell off it is candy and fruity. Honestly, God, I haven't even had a sip yet. And I'm slurring my words like a madman. So anyway, and it's got that hazy APA classic look as well, that dark sort of deep amber with a generous white head on it. So let's get in, let's get lashed right into it, because I am parched, as always. Oh, yes. So I have to set that down, honest to God, I'm going to have to get a pillow for when I need to set the glass down. I am so sorry if you got a wee fright there. Yeah, you can taste the marshmallow right away. with the pineapple as well. There's a bit of like, there's a bit of pine, I think. There's a woodiness to it or something that's really, really pleasant as well. And the aftertaste then that's kind of lingering is like a candy floss, kind of marshmallow, sweetie kind of flavor. It's a, this would be class with a dessert, I think. So your flavor profile is pineapple, sweet, and marshmallow there. Hops I use here are Atenum. Is that from fucking Marvel? And Citra. And there they go again, Slabburn. The world's only carbon negative beer. So that's what you have to be these days. You know, you can't just be a brewery anymore and make great beers. You have to go, oh, you know what, lads, we're all carbon neutral. Yeah. Well, fair play to you. Well done. Story on the side of the can then is Mallow Laser Quest is an IPA with a twist. Our hazy and the pale ale unpacks a sweet tropical flavor. Fruit aroma bursting with pineapple, candied fruit, sherbet, and mallow notes heading towards a sweet finish. Fucking nailed it, boys. Like, that, honestly, like, I always love that, like, because, like, when you read a wee story in the side of the can, it's always full of big boasts, and you're just like, ah, fuck, you're talking out of your head, mate. Nah, didn't get that at all. But in this case, fucking spot on, honestly. But then again, like, I think even though BrewDog are technically now, like, a macro brewery, you know, they're pretty big. They're fucking everywhere. I got this from Shmrasco. The big supermarket brand. And you'd think once somebody mass produces something to that level that they're in like a massive supermarket, the quality's going to drop. But honestly, this is fantastic. So Mallow Laser Quest, recommend 100% straight off the bat. So yeah, this week's been quite a crack. There's been a lot going on. He's probably watched the Royal thing. I'm not going to chat about that because fuck the Royals. And everybody involved. And Piers Morgan as well, obviously. But I enjoyed the crack this week. So there was a thing that happened off the back of that. Piers Morgan storming off this morning. And that was funny to watch. Like, I just love seeing that man have a bad time. He's such an asshole. it's like, so like anything going on, I just love seeing him have a bad time. So seeing him storm off was quite a crack. And then going on to Twitter, then I was on Twitter like early that morning, so I caught this hashtag at the very beginning of it. So somebody had started a hashtag bring back Piers, and they were talking about bringing back Piers Morgan onto the this morning show. And I think it was started by his supporters, but what some people have done is post pictures of their favourite peers. So people were posting like Brighton Pier and Piers in London and all this kind of stuff. Like actual photos of peers. And I thought it was fucking hilarious. So then I posted my own Twitter, like on Cans Across the World Twitter. It's CATW blog on Twitter if you're looking at us. And then I says, hashtag bring back Piers is trending, and I'm happy that we're hashtag Piers posting. Take this one in Galway, for example. Gorgeous. And it's a photo of the pier in Galway. I keep slapping that. I'm really sorry. I'll try and cut that out. oh, fucking hell. Like, I have to get, like, this is the new mic stand, you see, so, like, I'm unaware of, like, where to put my hands sort of thing. I'm still getting used to it, like, sort of, it's kind of raised off the desk a wee bit, but I'm going to have to adjust it again just to sort of make sure I can move my hands about and stuff, because that's the way I just fucking talk when I'm chatting shit on my own. But that was grand anyway, so I posted that, and the crack was mighty. Everybody get involved and replying and stuff like that. But this dude like replies later on that night and says, you've made the Evening Standard. So the Evening Standard.co.uk newspaper. they'd done this big article on this hashtag then, and it was all about the joke, but they included the Cans Across the World post, the original one, like, so people could, like, see what we were saying and stuff on the Evening Standard. Was pretty cool. But then after that, which I thought was amazing, Nick Knowles, he's all Nick Knowles, like, he sort of retweeted it with a quote, and he says, "That's the pair used in Garrett, isn't it? Great film, or film, to be more accurate. If you want a truly original film experience, try and visit my favourite short film festival, the Fast Film, the at Fastnet Film Fest in beautiful Shull, Cork." So for those that don't know, that's a short film festival in Cork, showing like local films and stuff like that there. Obviously, it's going to be all online this year, so it's at Fastnet Film Fest. And yeah, Nick Knowles recommends it. Happy days. And now knows that Cans Across the World exists as well, so no doubt if he chooses to tune in this week, what's happening? Cheers for the wee retweet and heads up about the film festival. I'll be checking that out. It's in May, by the way. And it's all online as well. So you can check out all the short films online there. And it's going to be class crack altogether. But it's been a great week. It's been a great week. Like, just sort of trying to stay on top of things and improve everything that's happening. Sort of getting better jobs, get more stability about me, because obviously this last year has been absolutely insane, and it's thrown everything up in the air. So it's only going to get better, folks. It's all going to get better, and we'll be able to hang out again and have cans together and hopefully pints in the pub. That'd be lovely. But something really interesting happened again this week as well. You know those like car accident phone calls? Like they'll, I heard you were in an accident and all this kind of stuff. So we got another one of them this week, and I'm going to start recording them because I enjoy just improv, like improv in a conversation with these people, because it's just scams. Just having a wee sit there. But the crack with this was the guy calls up and he goes, Indian fella, by the way, I'm not going to do the accent because I don't want to get cancelled. So, not that him being Indian has anything to do with the story, but he was, so why leave it out? I'm calling about your car accident where someone hit your car, and I says, "Oh, that's right, how'd you hear about it?" And he goes, "The Department of Road Safety passed us a report." And he says, "Geez, that's so quick, it only happened last night." And then he goes, "Oh, well, how did the accident happen?" And I says, "You tell me, you have the report, mate. But I hope they left out the bit about me drink driving." And he goes, "Okay," and hangs up. Now, it stopped there, which I was really sad about, because I was just like, you know, after the fact, like, if you have an argument or a conversation with somebody, you always think of more stuff to say, and, like, it's so many, like, wee bits, like, it was just popping into my head and stuff like this, and I was like, oh my god, there could have been so many things. And then about a half hour passed, and I was just thinking then, oh fuck, I should have rang straight back and pretended to be outraged and said, "Oh, here, mate, like, we got hung, like, we got disconnected. I want to speak to your manager. This is unacceptable. You hung up me and all this." Like, it would have been class crack if I did that, but I think in future I'll do that, and I'll download some sort of call recorder as well and try and get them recorded, because it's going to be class crack. I really hope it works out the way it does. But Sean, a guy from Strabane there, one of my mates from back in the day, he says, "You inspired me and I had to act on it." So This is a wee clip of him chatting shit.
Get out of life. I am never anti smash this, yeah?
Sorry? Yeah, six car pileup on the motorway. I'm not going to get out alive. I had to rescue a baby from one of the cars and everything.
So, that was Sean there. Absolutely well played. Like, so he went ahead and just like had his partner record it. And then he uploaded a wee video of it as well and just said that he was inspired to record it through that wee status that he posted there about it. So that was quite a crack. Like, cheers for that, Sean. And yeah, that was class crack. So more of that. Keep it going. Give them shit. Don't hang up. Just keep chatting. Be good, crack. And then Aaron says he had one recently. He says, thank God you rang. Yes, I'll give you all my details. To be honest, I had a great time telling him. I could only send an email by blowing into a straw. Such was the extent of my injuries. That's a cracker. So anyway, that was the car accident calls. I can't wait. Like, I can't wait to the next one. It's going to be a good crack. Hopefully there will be a fair few more. I actually enjoy them these days. I used to get annoyed, but now I think there's just nothing on. So chatting to anybody on the phone, even as some fucking Indian scam artist, I'm happy enough. Like, I'll reply all day and listen to their calls and chat away. Record a crack. And then what else happened this week? So I was up in the attic and I found a bunch of manuscripts from plays and stuff like that from years and years ago. But I'll get into that later on down the line because I want to check them against the archive. There's this like archive my mate sent me, which is a very extensive like list of plays and stuff like that from like the past century basically. But it means that I can check the manuscripts against like the archive and see when they were performed, who's in it, and all this kind of stuff. And could be very interesting, that sort of historical stuff. And obviously there's no theater at the minute either, so fucking might as well read about it. Read plays instead of going to see them. Oh, it was gorgeous. But what I found as well was my old ticket box, and it was so nice because obviously there's no gigs, and there's no gigs in the foreseeable either. I'm really not sure when they're going to be back. We keep seeing all these gigs pop up, keep getting notifications, event invites and all that kind of stuff, and time rolls on and they just get rescheduled or cancelled, and you're just like, ah, shit, mate, it sucks. But looking back is all we can do at the minute. And looking back in great memories. So, top of the box, fell on the floor. Honestly. One job, hold a bit of card. It's so annoying, actually, because obviously tickets were starting to go digital as well just before lockdown and stuff like that. So a lot of the tickets that I have are historical anyway, historical great gigs and stuff, which is an absolute melt because everything is digital now. So you don't get like a nice paper copy that you can put in a wee box like I've done. So this is first one. So this is The Prodigy, supported by Public Enemy in the SSC Arena in Belfast, 1st of December 2015. What a show that was. The great Keith Flint, RIP. And the crack of that concert, it was brilliant, like, because it was full of, I think, like, sort of ravers and stuff like that who had like just obviously come for the Prodigy. And Public Enemy, there was only like maybe a crowd like five deep in the entire arena. Well, five rows deep. And Public Enemy just absolutely smashed it, as you can imagine. But Chuck D was up there, like, being class, and then did a live band with them. Flavor Flav was on this, like, Segway thing, and he was doing a bass solo, and then the next minute he disappeared from the stage and, like, appeared on the stands and stuff, I guess, and it was fucking wild. So, yeah, like, that was fantastic. I heard Prodigy are doing new music. I could have read that wrong, or maybe I dreamt it, but I really hope they are, because what's that song again? Like, The World Is My Enemy or something like that. Like, I think it was the last album was an absolute banger as well, and apparently it was more of the band that were involved in that album instead of Keith. So if that's a quality that's going to be coming out in the new album, then happy days, game on. Fucking great seeing Keith as well. He's just a powerhouse, like. Obviously, that was the last time I would have seen him, unfortunately. So yeah, moving on. Oh, Jesus. This isn't a happier note. So, seen Frightened Rabbit in the Mandela Hall, Belfast. 15th November 2013. Obviously, Scott's no longer with us as well. He's another crack there. Very, very talented artist and loved by everybody. Left behind a legacy of great songs. Moving swiftly, like, I'm not gonna, because I just don't want to just keep going. It's at that stage now where, like, you might go through some of your concert tickets and stuff and go, like, oh, fuck, I wish they were still with us. So I don't want to go down that road. Like, it feels pure depressing. Here's a good one. So this is Auntie Annie's, if you remember Auntie Annie's, boys. This is the first, the first ticket I ever bought for Auntie Annie's. bought a few for Auntie Annie's. But this one was In Case of Fire, More Than Conquerors, and The Good Fight. What a lineup that was, like. The Case of Fire were from North Coast, weren't they? Unbelievable band. £6 in, including your booking fee. What about that? Before Ticketmaster started going, oh yeah, it's £6 in plus 20 quid booking fee. Oh, what's that for? Admin. Like, mate. But it's all online. Like, where's the admin in this? So I remember that as well. That was unbelievable, that show. So then Mastodon played the Academy in Dublin, 13th June 2013. And that was the time me and Tony Captain went. Tony, I used to play in a band with called The Big Grizzly years ago. And lovely fella. Absolute hero. And they absolutely fucking smashed it. They played like The Sparrow and everything. And I think The Sparrow is like that one, like Brent Hines sings a lot on his own. And it was incredible. And after the show, me and Tony hung out. And Troy didn't come out. Basically, Brand Dealer and Brent Hines came out to greet the crowd, which is fucking grand. They're the best members anyway. But so Bran was standing up, like, signing stuff and all that kind of stuff, and me and Tony were like steaming, as you can imagine, drunk on Buckfast and all sorts. And we said to him, like, oh, do you mind if we lift you for a photo, mate? And so we took a leg each, and there's a photo of us, like, holding Bran Taylor, like, up by the legs. And Brand's, like, throwing his arms back and, like, just, like, yelling and stuff. It was class crack. So, yeah, it was a great memory as well. Here's the first ticket I ever had from Belfast. That is the 23rd of October 2009, and it was an Oxjam gig. Remember Oxjam gigs? Wild. £5 in the McHughes, and I think it was my mate's band. What were they called again? Raisin Giant. It's on the ticket there. So they were basically like Pearl Jam, and they were grand wee band, good crack wee band. So that was the first the first ticket I bought when I moved to Belfast. I'd moved up to Belfast in like August, and yeah, that was my mate's band. It was class crack. One of my favorite gigs ever was 26th of April 2012, was Russian Circles. I was a massive, massive Russian Circles fan, and this was, I believe, their first time over the seas. They were just starting to catch on over here, and they were about to head on to Europe as well. So they were supported by Def Heaven. I hadn't heard of Def Heaven, and the support band came out. I just noticed the front man had like these leather cowboy boots on and a leather glove in the right hand, dressed in black. And they just kicked into their music, and it's like this beautiful melodic, like heavy metal sort of stuff. Like it was like post-rock, but it had black metal kind of influences about it. And then his vocals kicked in, and it's straight up black metal. Fucking blown away. Just instant fan. Jesus, that was incredible. And then Russian Circles came out, and honestly, like, their drummer, Dave, I think is his name. I can't remember. I think it's Dave. I'm going to say it's Dave. Probably the tightest drummer I've ever seen in my life. Just every... Like, if you listen to their music, like, they're a very intense band. Like, the drums have such an intensity to them, and so much, so many dynamics and stuff like that. But, fuck, he never faltered. Unbelievable drummer, like. So, yeah, that was a fantastic gig. And the Brewdog, still drinking very, very well. If you need to know, it's a beer podcast. Look, I'm going to quickly bash through these because I get so nostalgic. Let's see now. So, Cannibal Corpse and Spring and Air Break. Remember Spring and Air Break? So, Spring and Air Break was the original name for the Limelight. And the big room in the Limelight, not the OG tiny room Limelight. So, this was Cannibal Corpse. And that was the 22nd of August 2010, put on by the Distortion Project. So shout out to James from the Distortion Project for, Jesus, like, the amount of bands that we've seen because of James and the Distortion Project is just unbelievable. Like, I'd wager a third of these tickets here in my hand are, like, they all bear the Distortion Project name. So yeah, like, unbelievably thankful that James has such a passion that he brings all these incredible bands over. Yeah, like, where else would you see the Cannibal Corpse, like? Like, that was incredible. Even though, like, remember the Spring and Air Break back in the day? Like, anybody listened to this that went, will know about the fact that the old Spring and Air Break, before it became Limelight and got revamped and all this kind of stuff, it had pillars everywhere. So no matter where you stood, like, there'd be a pillar like directly in front of the stage sort of thing. So basically, band like Cannibal Corpse were George Codalais, or honestly I can't remember his second name, but he would be hidden by the pillar if you're standing directly in front of the stage. So there you go. Unbelievable front man as well, by the way. Like, I've never seen some man like headbang like him. Like, it's crazy. Like, his head must be on like a rotary blade or something like that. Like it must be motorized. Like fucking hell, he couldn't keep up with it. Like, let's hammer through these. Blah blah blah. So, Rubber Bandits and the Stiff Kitten, 9th of February. Don't know what year that was, but it's probably 2013 or 2012 or something. Lisa Hannigan and the Mandela Hall, 13th of December 2011. Now that was probably one of the only gigs I've ever been at where he couldn't fucking talk without disturbing the whole show. Like it was so quiet. Like to be cliche, you could have heard a pin drop. Like it was wild. Like it was just so quiet. Like it was such a beautiful set as well. Obviously, if you've heard her music, incredibly reflective and sort of beautiful music and stuff, I guess. But that show, unbelievable. And she's very soft spoken as well. Like she's got a very whispery kind of nice voice, not rowdy and loud like this. So you could have, you could have like easily just laid down and like listened to it while lying on your back, although Mandela Hall floor wouldn't recommend it. Oh my God, that beer is lovely. Right, I'm going to hammer quickly through these because I don't want to just keep... keep at the concert tickets because I could do this all night. So Mudhoney and Limelight. Mudhoney played Limelight 3rd of October 2010, and that was awesome. That was their first appearance in Ireland, I believe. And basically they fucked it up. Like they came out and the first song, what was it? I can't remember what this first song. That's kind of the theme of these things. My memory's been affected by years and years of cans and banter. So the first track, they messed up and restarted. And then the frontman like just goes like, oh yeah, like we're severely out of practice. We haven't been in a room together in like 3 months. So it's like, that was just so like old school and fucking cool. But yeah, Mudhoney, I've seen them twice. I've seen them also in the Black Box where they were supported by Bob Logg III, and that was unbelievable. Like Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls, May 2013. Biffy Clyro in March 2013. Japandroids, oh Jesus, that was a queer show. Like, if you haven't listened to Japandroids, go listen to Japandroids and then come back and listen to the rest of this. 17th of August 2012, they had just released their album, the second album, I think it was, and like they're just incredible. They're so cool. They're like a two-piece from Canada, just a drummer and a guitarist. But it's like nice, rowdy, kind of happy, bouncy kind of stuff. So yeah, check that out for sure. Sepultura and the Limelight Boy, 12th August 2012, easy to remember. First time seeing Eloy Casagrande. I butcher in Brazilian or Portuguese here, but Eloy Casagrande, but first time seeing him on drums. Think he had just joined Sepultura at that time. I think it was roughly around that time. But what a fucking powerhouse of a drummer. Like, unbelievable. Like, if you've seen him, like, any of my drummer friends that are listening to this, probably follow him on Instagram and stuff, and probably see the way that boy hits the drums. Like, it's just, like, the drums owe him money. Like, it's fucking wild. It's class. He's such a talent. This, I was actually showing this to my mate the last day. So this is from the Warzone Centre in Belfast, and I don't know what year it is, because they haven't put any year on the ticket. So this is from Friday the 16th of December, assuming, I'm going to say like 2012 or maybe 2011, but it's Laughter for a Gale, Empty Lungs, Hornets, and Minnows. Fucking Minnows, like, what a band. Absolute crack. Let's go. Superorganism, 2018. City in Colour, Mandela Hall, 2016. That's a... Where's that from? Berlin? Yeah, train ticket from Berlin. Hammer on. So when I went to see the Darts. Oh, the Darts in 2019. Class crack. I went to see Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, Hollywood Babylon. That's Kevin Smith that made Clerks and all that kind of stuff. And that was on 20th of June, 2014. I feel so old seeing all these things. So, you know what? I'll do one more because there's so many here. I'll do one more. So, the last one I'll do then is Biffy Clyro plus special guest, St. George's Market, 28th October, 2009. So I seen Biffy Clyro in St. George's Market. I think they had just released Puzzle. I think that's the album that came out. And what happened was the special guests didn't know who they were. Not that they didn't know who they were. I didn't know who they were. But we landed in, and I wasn't listening to the name, but I just remember like listening to the music and going, fuck, these guys are unbelievable. And I found out who they were after the gig, and it was Manchester Orchestra. Like, like, think about that. Like, Manchester Orchestra supported Biffy Clyro in George's Market. How fucking crazy is that? Like, I absolutely adore that band. Now, obviously, from that gig, but I didn't know during the gig who they were and stuff, and all I was hearing was just this incredible music. This I think they played the likes of like Deer and Pensacola and stuff, I guess, but Simple Math was on the set list as far as I remember. Found out after the fact, obviously. So that was fucking great. Like, that kind of, it made me realize that if you don't know who your support is on a bill, like, just land in anyway. Don't listen to them beforehand. Hear it live for the first time and then just form your opinion on that and then maybe check them out recorded after. Because that was my first Manchester Orchestra experience and I was just absolutely blown away. Like, so, yeah. More of that once we're back to gigging. But we'll do some beer news and wrap up here because I just realized I hammered on into my ticket box and I only got a wee bit into it as well, to be fair. Like, there's not too much in there. Sorry, there wasn't too much talked about there that I have no idea what I want to say. So, well, let's get out of the beer news. So first up in beer news is something I find really interesting and amazing. So Bullhouse have released another new beer. It's called Grapefruit Peelers. And it's got a meat wagon in the front. A meat wagon, if you don't know, is slang for a police Land Rover. And it says on the side of the van, it says Thirst Quenchers. It's a grapefruit IPA. It is beer number 54 in the Bullhouse range, and it's 6.4% ABV. And a grapefruit IPA, that sounds fantastic. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely fucking thirst quenching, as the fans suggest, so keep an eye on that. Go to the Bullhouse website and order some if you fancy it. There's so many great beers on there. Next up, there's a huge beer garden opening in Alexander Palace. So if you don't know, Alexander Palace is a big massive venue in London. Hosts a fucking so many incredible shows. Like, if you've seen the architects, that's like calling Voodoo, like the Voodoo Bar in Belfast, the Voodoo. Remember people did that for ages. They were like, oh, are you going down to the voodoo tonight? The what, mate? So there's a massive beer garden opening with panoramic views of the city this spring. So there's going to be a wee beer garden opening in Alexander Palace shortly. So keep an eye out for that if you're hanging about in London. Hopefully we will be soon. So it's supposed to be going over in June, fingers crossed. But, you know, it might be pushed back. We'll see how it goes. We're not going to fucking get too excited or down about anything. It's just, as far as I know, it might happen. And then we'll get to hang out in London for a bit, have a look at some breweries and have the crack. Maybe head over to this beer garden, Alexander Palace. That'd be nice. But beer news this week is mostly just about beer gardens. Like, that's the crack going forward. It's beer gardens are opening first, as you know. So the likes of Sunflower Pub in Belfast, check it out. Sell it out every day. They're the best, honestly. When I was down, like just before lockdown, great pizza, stone baked oven pizza, fresh, cooked on site, right in front of you. Pints delivered to your table, fresh pints. Kozel on draft, it's like a Polish lager, and it's just gorgeous. It's so nice, it's so fresh and cold and stuff. Segregated bathrooms as well, so like it's the lads is over on the left hand side where you go down, like in sort of like a one-way system sort of thing. You just like go in, do your pee, and then out the other end, and there's just hand sanitizer everywhere. And oh Jesus, they nailed it. Like, for a small independent pub, obviously they own the American Bar as well, also in Belfast. I wasn't over there sort of pre-lockdown stuff like that, but they absolutely knocked out of the park. They did really, really well, and I felt so safe in there. Like, it felt so comfortable. Another place as well is the Ulster Sports Club, who have extended their beer garden. So if you're knocking about, I think it's High Street, you call it, where the Lidl and stuff like that is. You know, the big Albert clock. It's across the road from that, basically, but I was walking past the other day and see they'd extended the beer garden with the wee white picket fence. So that's going to be gorgeous when we're able to have pints there. So check that out as well. Two great pubs in Belfast. And so Shouter Beer Fridges, soaps made from ale and endless mini bars inside Australia's first beer hotel. So there's a beer hotel opened up in Brisbane. It's actually opening in 2022, so next year, but it's a BrewDog hotel. Basically, BrewDog look to be opening hotels all over the world. They've got one in Vegas, Aberdeen, fucking Brisbane now, by the looks of it, and there's one in Paris as well. Actually, check it out, right? Go to the, if you head onto the BrewDog, I think it's on their Twitter. It might be on James Wyatt's Twitter, like the Bullhouse, the BrewDog owner. Like, it might be on James's Twitter, but you can see the plans for the Paris one, and it shows you a nice like artist mock-up of what it's going to look like, and it looks insane. It looks so beautiful. Not sure where it is. Like, it doesn't tell you where it's going to be, I don't think, but like, Paris, a lovely city anyway. It's so nice. But there you go. That's pretty much all it is. Because if you were going to check out anything else, news-wise, for beer, it's all to do with COVID. And fuck it. I've had enough of it. Like, we'll steer clear from that. But what about this beer then? So let's wrap up. Let's chat about the beer. Finally. So this has been the BrewDog Mallow Laser Quest Marshmallow and Pineapple Hazy IPA, 6% ABV, and comes in a 440ml can. Really, really nice. Absolutely gorgeous. Like, even after me chatting shit for ages and it's sitting there, it's still got a nice head on it and it's got a cling to the glass as well, which you can tell it's just a mark of quality, isn't it? So you can really taste the like the pineapple coming through first. It's very sweet. And as I said, it tastes like marshmallow candy. It's just like, it's just so, like, it really gets your taste buds going. It really, like, coats your mouth. It's got this nice, like, medium body about it that sort of coats your mouth in the flavor and lingers until the next sort of sip. Jesus, that is fantastic. I'm going to give this a 4.3 out of 5. 100%. Really enjoyed it. As much as I have chatting shit this week. That about wraps it up then. Big shout out to everybody who's been really, really sound to the podcast. And especially in the past couple of weeks. I've noticed there's been a lot more private messages and comments. And beer recommendations coming my way. And I'm really, really thankful about it. Like a guy... Oh, fuck, where is he from? Do you know what would be handy if I could remember stuff? But it's a brewery that this artist put me in touch with. And I'm going to check out some of that brewery's beers and then hopefully get them on the podcast in a few weeks as well, which is going to be incredible. Like, they seem like lovely people. We're chatting briefly, and they seem really, really nice. So, all going well, a couple of weeks, going to have some of their beers and then get them on the podcast. It'll be a Zoom chat, as you know. That's the way it goes these days, but there you go. But so, so thankful to everybody for just pitching in and being really nice to me over the past couple of weeks, getting involved in Cans Across the World at Calm and stuff like that. And also, just a shout out to the Fellowship Podcast. Every Sunday, it's what I look forward to. I don't go to Mass or anything like that anymore. I like to go to Spotify and check out the Fellowship Podcast. So check them out as well. They're on everywhere this podcast is. So they're on like Spotify and Apple, and they have a Patreon as well. So if you enjoy their crack and you enjoy the banter out of them and stuff like that, and you want to get more of it and exclusive content, but you can pitch a couple of quid to them. I think the minimum set at a fiver, just by default, just that's the way the app works. But you can, you can pitch them and support them in their quest to rule the world. Rule the podcast world. But yeah, big shout out to those guys. Also, next week's guest is actually, I don't think he's a guest anymore. Maybe he's just like the co-cannoneer. But Darren Matthews is going to be on next week's podcast, and we're going to be reviewing this mead that we were gifted. It was, as I was saying, fermented for 6 months, and I'm really, really excited about it. I've told my parents about it. I've just said, like, look, if I don't make it, then I love yous. You know? So that's something to look forward to next week. So that'll be next Friday's episode then. And also check out Jared, My Wee Productions, his podcast and stuff like that. So, he's on the Fellowship Podcast as well, but also check his Instagram videos out because they're fucking hilarious. And I really should like script the end bit because I just kind of ramble a wee bit, but there you go. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week. Stay safe and sane. If you need to chat, fucking chat. Get it out of you. Cry it out of you if you have to. But keep it together. All the best.